Turning our Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Colossians, as God laid on my heart about the love of God the other night, he seemed to add this to my thinking since that time. Reading the first three verses, I read, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The mystery of God, we read here in this second verse, the margin says, "The mystery of God, even Christ." And I'll have you notice that the mystery of God in Christ is the incarnating, the fullness of the Godhead. All the Godhead was manifest in him bodily. Christ was everything that God could ever be. And the fullness of the Godhead and all the divine wisdom and knowledge for the redemption and the reconciliation of man is what we have here. Bill recently was giving some studies from the book of Colossians, and I heard him emphasize the headship of Christ. And of course, this is the real heart of this book of Colossians, that Christ is the head of the church and, of course, of everything else other than God himself. And this is so important to us to understand, especially in these days when the enemy would pull us away in every direction and get us to give our allegiance to something other than Christ. And it's so important that we must believe and stand for it if we are to reap the full benefits of our relationship with God. I realize, as I never have before, that if you want to reap the full benefits of your relationship with Christ, you must recognize and accept and stand for the fact that he is your head, that he is the head of the church, that you don't join up with other, even though they look like good organizations. And so this is so important. Christ is the head, we learn in this book, of everything, and more especially is he the head of the church. And you find in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Thus, all believers are complete in him. There's nothing. When you take Christ, that's the completion of everything, like a complete tree is in a seed. A complete ear of corn is in a grain of corn. A complete forest is in one acorn. You see, now, you must realize that these things have to be planted or given to nature's way of developing them if they are to ever succeed and be what they potentially can be. And so he is everything we need. Christ is everything you need. And I know that we go to so many other things under pressure to supply a need. But if we were to honestly, fully, heartily look to the Lord Jesus Christ, he would meet our need. Now, that don't mean that he'll feed us manna as they did in the wilderness. He gave you hands. We have the revelation that he that would not work should not eat. We have the revelation, he that provideth not for his own has denied the faith, is worse than an infidel. We have a number of statements that know that we must work, but you must seek God about all these things and realize that the Lord has made Christ to be to you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything is in him. I don't have to, in other words, I don't have to go out here and keep a Sabbath to be righteous. And I don't have to go out here and refrain from pork to be sanctified. And I don't have to lean to man's cleverness to be wise. You can have all the knowledge that books can give you and be dumber than a dummy. And everything is in him. All of this becomes real to faith. Now, it won't be real to you unless you have the Word of God. Believe the Word of God, and then that's how faith comes. You believe the Word of God. As such, we represent the mystical Christ tonight. Now, this is the mystery of God, even Christ. And the mystical Christ, you must understand, includes not just the head, but believers who are the mystical body. You know, Christ, you must realize, he had his own personal head. He had his own physical body. It was a body that was crucified. It was a body that is now glorified. It's glorified to the highest realm of glory. And we're promised that we can have a body like unto his own glorious body, whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And so, however, he also has a mystical body. He's the head of a new creation, just like Adam was the head of an old creation. We're not sinners because we were bad, but we were sinners because we were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. You plant a peach, you get a peach. You plant a hedge apple, you get a hedge apple. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant thistles, you're going to get thistles. And so Adam was a sinner by nature. He became a sinner by nature. And all of his offspring are sinners. That's the reason you must be born again. You're born into a new creation. And so as believers, we become the mystical body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:12, where Paul is comparing the mystical body of Christ to the human body and its members, says, so also is Christ. And thus, the Christ of mystery is not just Christ, the head of the church, but the church also the body of Christ. And such is the wonder and the marvel of God's unspeakable plan. Oh, what a plan. What a plan. Jesus in John 17:21 prayed that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also be one in us. What a marvel. It's beyond the natural man to grasp, of course, and it's beyond most Christians to grasp. To be one, be one as they are one. And we in them. Now the devil has many counterfeits, not just religious organizations, but the multiplied fraternal orders. However, here God takes the Jew and the Gentile of so many backgrounds, nations, colors, and such, and he makes of them one new man. You'll note, and I wasn't so impressed until yesterday with this, Revelation 5, 8, and 10, there we doubtless see the bride of Christ, and she's made up of all of these that God has taken out of such various backgrounds, such diversities of opinions, such differences in society and such, and he has brought them by his power to the place they blend as a bride. That means he's got to work on you and me, isn't it? Now, God puts all such diversities together as one, as I've said, and this is made possible by making of them one new man. Ephesians 2:15 tells you this. And so the head of this new man is Christ. And the body of the head is the new man in Christ, which is the church, as we read in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now, only God can do such a thing. Over in Africa, we note what's going on in South Africa and what a tragedy as whites kill blacks and blacks kill whites. But that isn't the real thing. What was his name? Omean or something like that. He just slaughtered every black that got in his way. Old Stalin slaughtered every Russian that got in his way. Hitler slaughtered every German that got in his way. You see? And here in America, we had our great Civil War, where the South killed the North, and the North killed the South. And today, we have fighting between capital and labor, and the class differences and all of these things. But God can take a Chinaman, he can take a Japanese, he can take a German, he can take an Irishman, he can take an Englishman that have been ready to shed one another's blood, and he can bring them together in Christ. And then he can bring them to the place that they'll make up the bride of Christ. Now, you see, only God can do this thing. I mentioned a couple of times a fellow that came to see me last week, and he's one of these so-called deliverance preachers. Well, what do you deliver someone from? See, God's precious people need to be delivered from more than just a temper, more than just alcoholism. They may need to be delivered from Adam in all of his traits. And they need to come into the fact that they're a new creature in Christ. And when you take Christ, God don't only bring you out, he wants to bring you in. And where do you see these men ever telling people about the level of God's thought and plan for their lives? Every one of you here tonight that are born again, you potentially can be in the bride of Christ. But God will have to get rid of your nationality. He'll have to get rid of your color. He'll have to get rid of your class hatred. He'll have to get rid of a lot of things and blend you together in this new creation, which is Christ, his mystical body. Now, dear ones, there is but one way that this can be done. And our text says, knit together in love. You see how important it is to have the love of God in your heart. This word knit is found 6 times in the Bible. Now, I'm just speaking of the word knit, not this particular Greek word. Here, it's found 2 times in the 2nd verse and the 19th verse. And the word, it means to knit, to force. That's a pretty good one, isn't it? To drive together. I've told you many times, when I was just a boy, my brother-in-law was one of the government mule breakers for World War I. He broke hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of heads of mules. Now, those 2 mules, if you ever know anything about a mule is a mule. And I worked them, and I know. And yet, you could get 2 mules that were just as wild could be, and you could put halter on them the first thing. Well, I won't go into all of the steps. But then when you got a perfectly matched pair, they would outwork any pair of horses I ever saw, because they were faster. If you got them out of good stock, they would be so heavy. I don't know how many of you saw a picture show they made years ago, Scudahoo, Scudahay. Those 2 mules, I worked them for over 2 years. They were the blue ribbon mules at the American Royal in Kansas City, old Beck and Jude. And what a pair of mules. But now, there was one day they were just as wild as they could be. They were adverse to collars and to whatever. They became the most gentle and obedient mules that I ever saw. I can see old Beck yet. Get her out and say, "Get pretty, Beck." And she'd start stretching her hind legs and plant her front legs, and she'd go like that. And when she got stretched to her limit, she'd bow her neck and stand there. Well, that's what God wants to do to you. He wants you to get pretty. And he's the only one who can make you pretty. Now, but it means to drive together, to unite in association or affection, to infer, to show, or teach. Now, if you're not wanting this, you just as well to give it up. If you don't want him to show you or to teach you or to unite in association or affection, if there's someone that your brother or your sister that you wouldn't love if you had a chance, you'd better get it done. Now, it's also translated compact in Ephesians 4:16. It's translated assuredly gather in Acts 16:10. It's translated instruct in 1 Corinthians 2:16. And then knit together in our text in verse 19. And then it's translated prove in Acts 9:22. Now, the Old Testament usage of this word is quite revealing. In the 20th chapter of the Gospel, the 20th chapter of the book of Judges, and in the 11th verse, the word means a companion. The word is knit. It means a companion, a fellow. And if you read the context of this verse, you'll find that a terrible crime had been committed in Israel. And I won't go into it. It's one of the most hideous of crimes. Reminds you a little of some of the crimes of today. And it had been committed in Gibeah of Benjamin. And all Israel is said to have risen up here together as one. They rose up knit together as one. And they went against the city. And they ultimately destroyed it after three different battles. They destroyed all the women, almost all the men. And that's where they had to pull a little fast one, or they would have lost the tribe of Benjamin. And you can read it for yourself. But they went together. They were faced with this battle. And they went together to destroy the enemy. Now, precious hearts, I don't know whether you know it or not, but there is a warfare going on all the time in this meeting, in your life, and we need one another. And God needs us to pull together, not pull against one another, not fight one another. A sad thing, the tribe of Benjamin refused to do the right thing, and so they fought the rest of Israel. Now, 1 Samuel 18:1, the word knit means to tie, to gird, to confine, to compact. And here we read of the heart of David and Jonathan being knit together. And God had to bring that about. You notice how they loved one another. And thus their hearts were knit together. Out of the heart come the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it was because of their deep love for one another. Now you just think of the chasm that love crossed here. Jonathan was the son of Saul, who wanted to kill David. And certainly if David takes the throne, Jonathan isn't going to get it. To destroy David would have meant that he would have been the heir apparent to the throne. But love was such a great thing in this case that Jonathan was willing. Of course, he never got to take that second place, but he was willing to take the second place in the kingdom when David became king. This shows the willingness to sacrifice. Love can bring about such a sacrifice in one's life. And I've seen love in the natural. We'll get to it a little more here a little later. But I've seen love do so many, many, many things, even in the natural. How much more in the spiritual? Do you realize that the church that has God's best is called the Church of Philadelphia? Brotherly love. Now, that don't mean living waters, because there's a lot of folk in living waters that couldn't fit the measure brotherly love. They couldn't really take that place as saying We are in the church, Philadelphia. But here, you are offered the place of ruling and reigning with Christ. You're not going to give it to another person. You're going to have it yourself. But it will require this love that God wants you to have. Note, in our text, they were knit together in love. All right, now let me go a little further. And so, 1 Chronicles 12:17, there were 11 fellows that came to David. We'll read about it in the first verse in just a moment. But David went out to meet these men, and he answered, and this is what he said unto them, if you'll read the 17th verse, "If you come peaceably unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit unto you." But he went on to say, if you come to expose me, why, it's another thing. Now, the word here means a unit, cessation, rest. And so we are a unit, undivided. We're a one. And so it is we come to rest and peace when we unite with God and His plan. They became one when they united with David and the plan God had for David. Now, there are not a lot of plans. The Baptists don't have a plan. They may have one. But God's got a plan. And here I mentioned the fact that one of the outstanding religious stars of the day, I heard him and I've never turned him on since. I heard him say, now we're going to deal with that damnable doctrine of the security of the believer, the worst thing that ever came out of the pit. Well, that's what he said. Who would you prefer believing? Him or Jesus? Or Paul? Or Peter? Or David? David just about ran the gamut of defiance. And when he pleaded with God, he didn't say, save me again. He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. The joy has gone out of it. Restore it to me. We could go on and on, but that's not our subject tonight. But dear hearts, here's what we must realize. That God has a plan. And you make sure that plan will be carried to the full. He don't need me. He don't need you. But thank God by His grace He has included us. And here I am, just like you, by the grace of God. I'm not here because I deserve to be here. I make mistakes same as you do. And so we need to work together. But there's one thing I know. I magnify my ministry. God has given me a ministry, and it might not appear, but you cross it and you're in trouble. Not me. The ministry, as long as I hold with the Word of God, as long as I teach the truth, you better not try to stop it. God will steamroll you just like everybody else has ever been steamrolled that opposed Him. And I'm nobody. I don't claim to be anybody. But I am his anointed. And I do know the truth. I'm not going to whim-wham around. I'm going to speak like Jesus did, as having authority. I'm not going to speak like those Pharisees, and well, maybe so, and it could be, and I hope, and maybe, and what on? Listen, I have eternal life. If you want to get rid of it, get rid of God. He's the one that gave me his eternal life. Jesus said, I am the vine. You're the branches. Did you know you absolutely cannot get rid of a branch on a vine without getting rid of the vine? Every branch goes right into the vine. You can cut the outside of it off, but it goes into the vine. Why don't you try some of those things sometime? So, David, you'll notice, according to 1 Chronicles 12:1, they came to David at Ziklag. Ziklag means pressure of the waves. Now, not just one wave. Did you ever watch waves come in? They just keep coming. Yeah. And is it ever seventh or ever eighth one is bigger than all the rest of them? Well, David had fled from Saul, and trouble was coming to him like waves. Many pressures faced him. And yet these men, knowing what they would face, joined themselves to David because they had a vision. And these are the men that became his mighty men. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, yes. And to stand with Christ tonight may not seem popular. We could go on and on and on and on. Remember, dear old Brother Kuntz, years ago, Brother and Sister Goodrick would remember him, I'm sure. And he had that little old church down there in Bristol, Oklahoma, and one side of the building was propped up with poles. And do you remember that, Brother Goodrick, or were you ever down there before Brother Webb took over? And the Church of God had about 325 in a congregation, and poor old Brother Coons, he had about 12, 15. So he met him out on the street one day, and he said, kind of, you know, gonna put him on the spot, make fun of him. Brother Coon, how many people do you have in your church? Well, he said, I don't really know, because we count everybody that's saved in yours. That was an excellent answer. Everybody that's saved, whether they're Baptists, Presbyterians, I don't care what the handle is that they put on themselves, they belong to the one church, and there's never but one church, just one. Christ is its head. Every believer is a member in particular, but precious hearts, you can yield to the truth, and you'll be transform from glory to glory, even to the likeness of the Lord. This fella that wanted to give me a deliverance meeting, I didn't talk to him 3 minutes, and I knew he didn't know a thing about his Bible. This is deliverance. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't expect any deliverance except by faith. I got saved by faith. I was filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. I've been healed repeatedly by faith. I have gone from glory to glory and have been changed from glory to glory, even unto the likeness of the Lord by faith. Even Sister Hill sees a transformation in me. And when you can say that, well, you're getting somewhere. Well, to stand with Christ now may seem an unpopular thing, as it was with these men. It was unpopular. Why, go and line yourself up to a man that is running and being hunted like a partridge on the hillsides of Israel, a man that's in and out of trouble, and he don't know where his next meal is coming from and whatever. Flee and join up with him. See, Christ is unpopular today. Religion isn't unpopular. Christ is unpopular. The truth is unpopular. Oh, you can go out here and put on a three-ring circus if you're able to put on a three-ring circus. That is, you can put on a reasonable facsimile of it. Hollywood has the real big shots. Don't you know that? Sure they do. The talent's in Hollywood and on the TV. This is where the real stars and the skills are. And every time they come out with something, it wouldn't surprise me at all. See some of these preachers beginning to come out with skinheads. They've practiced everything else. Precious hearts, listen. This is serious business. We're a new creature. We don't have to imitate anybody. That's the tragedy of the church tonight. We're trying to entertain people and take a cross away from them. These men went to David in the time of pressure. Oh, the waves of pressure. You think of the Apostle Paul, how he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Now you may, as I say, you may have find a lot of fault with me. That's easy. I could find a lot of fault with myself. But I read in there, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So I don't look in the mirror and say, you dirty devil. Why, if you said that to me, I might punch you. But if I say that to me, well, I'm whipped. I refuse to say less than he says about me. Now, you might not agree, but that's your business, and this is my business. And so, it's all right with me if you find fault with me. Sister Hill's found fault with me for over 50 years. Bless her heart. Biggest part of the time might have been true. So, you think of the people that have come. Take a dear old Brother Johnson. I thought of your mother, Dave. Thought of Bill's mom. They are the mighty men that has joined what took place here. They're there. You'll see them. Make up your mind you will see them. And you're going to know they stood for the best. And it's these kind that gave us the present victory. Do you realize what made this place possible? How do you like a place that never drives you for money or never tries to hoodwink you or whatever? If you come here any length of time, you know that this place has one ambition, to see you have the best. And so, you in your own heart, however, have to know the meaning of separation. No one can really press you to be separated in the sense that you're in this company. Recently, we had guests in our home, and they said to Sister Hill when they left, they didn't even tell me goodbye, thank you, or kiss my foot or whatever. And they told Sister Hill, we'll see you in heaven where our cultural differences won't separate us. That's pretty stupid. And you precious people right here feel like our cultural differences is separating you and me? Here God takes the blacks and the whites and the reds and the yellows and the riches and the poors and the educated and the uneducated. Why, it isn't the cultural difference that separates you. It's the lack of the love of God. Saul could have said to David, Jonathan, you're just a little old shepherd boy. And here I'm the prince. I'm the crown prince. Now we're separated. Especially in as much as you're wanting to get my throne. But you see, love overcame. These that came to David, they loved him. They would do anything to stand with him. And so, precious hearts, they should have said, we just don't have enough love to be knit to you. Now, Colossians 2:2, again, knit in love. You see, love is the natural. In the natural overcomes so much. I've seen love take a beautiful, gentle young woman and make her stick to a no-good, ornery, bum of a man and just stay with him and stay with him, and nobody could tell her anything against him. How many times in my own life, I've tried to warn young couples, maybe the girl, maybe the boy. They wouldn't listen. They thought they were in love. Love make a woman forget her dainty life. I've seen girls that their mom couldn't hardly get them away from curling their hair and pamping themselves, and yet then they'd marry some guy and scrub floors and wash diapers and go half starved and what have you, ragged clothes and what have you. Well, how much more the love of God? God's love brought Christ from the glory. And he that was the highest stooped to the lowest because he loved us. Tonight he loves us. So now this love is our right. And we can have our hearts knit together in love. And how much more this love of God should do it. To be of the same cultural background, color, lodge, and so forth, simply isn't enough. And yet, if we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, then we will be pliable in his hands, easily entreated. We won't be hard-headed and stubborn and all of these things. You see, God will make you an overcomer if you want him to. If you'll be pliable, he can bring you to the highest. He brings the beggar from the dunghill, and he puts him on the throne of a prince. And we'll never get there any other way, but God must have your cooperation. And sometimes he'll force it a little bit, like we did those mules. And so all this is accomplished in love. Now, the word in Colossians means to go up together. And so, precious hearts, we've been quickened together. We've been raised together. We've been seated together. We've come here tonight to worship together. We'll come to prayer meeting to pray together. We'll go out to have a little recreation together. We're a together people. And one day, God willing, we'll be caught up together. You think about it. Is that what you want? Oh, how we should love one another. Again, remember, it's going to be the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. That means that you must love me whether you want to or not. Huh? What about it? Oh, I don't care anything for Brother Hill. He just thinks he's somebody. I don't think it, I know it. Now, you can make of that what you want to. You can say I'm proud and haughty. Pilate said to Jesus, they say you're thus and so. Are you? He said, thou sayest. Why, sure, he called God his father. He's not ashamed to call me his son, so I'm not ashamed to call him my father. God's my father. I know it. I've been born of God. Don't take away from that. Do you realize that we are the aristocracy of heaven? One day we're going to join dear Brother Copley and Foster and all these precious ones that have gone on, and you're going to see that we're the aristocracy of heaven. A lot of people don't like that, but I like it. So, if you realize your brother is your treasure, you're going to do everything you can to see him succeed. And the enemy may get advantage of him. Instead of going to battle together with him, you join the enemy and fight against him. Any time the devil jumps one of you. Now there comes a time when you can't do anything for some people. You know that. I know that. But any time the devil jumps one of you, he'd sure like to get my assistance. And he wouldn't mind too bad having yours. See? So what will it add up to? The people that should fight for him fight against him. You know what would remedy that? The love of God. Your hearts knit together in love. And I might say, remember, it takes a needle to knit. And I can imagine that needle going in and out and in and out. It isn't a pleasant experience. You remember one of the statements when Peter saw that sheet let down from heaven, knit at the four corners. That's us. That sheet is us. Don't you know that? We're all in that sheet. We're knit together. Knit at the four corners. And so, note the 19th verse of this chapter, and I'll close. Not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, read that, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Now the more God gets into your life, the more he increases in there, the more you'll increase. The more you'll mature, the more you'll become what God has purposed that you become. Shall we stand?